Thank you. Good day, friends. And I just rejoice in the privilege that is mine of talking to you day after day on the things of Christ. You know, the one thing I really yearn for is that every one of us shall fall in love with the Savior so that He will be manifest in all that we are and all that we do. We've been dealing in chapters 8, 9, and 9 with the credentials of the King, our Lord proving His prophetical right to the throne, and we're right down to the end of chapter 9. Our Lord in this chapter has manifested his authority from verses 18 to 33. In our last lesson, He's the one who has power over death, power over disease, power over darkness, and power over demons. And it ends up in verse 34 and 35 with the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, accusing Christ of performing these supernatural things by the powers of hell. They were saying that He cast out demons through the prince of the demons, that would be Beelzebub. And our Lord ignores their accusation, and He goes on about His business. In verse 35, He went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He just absolutely goes on about His business. That's what you and I should do. When someone opposes us in the work of the gospel of Christ, we ought to manifest our devotion to Christ and ignore such opposition. Now, in verses from verse 36 and reading right through to the end of chapter 10, we have the fact that our Lord manifests His power through His own. And the first thing He manifests is His compassion for people. I want you to mark these two or three verses. Verse 36. And when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. And when He had called unto Him the 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, and so on. Now, in these last three verses of chapter 9, you have the great yearning of His heart, His compassion for men and women. And you notice the reason for the compassion was that they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And this is followed by the call for laborers into His harvest field. Now, let me just spend a moment or two here. First of all, concerning the reason for His compassion, they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, sometimes I feel that same way about God's people. As I have said before on this broadcast, I do have the opportunity of holding Bible conferences and speaking in different churches in different parts of the land, and sometimes overseas. And when I meet God's people, I wish in some way I could take them all in my arms and just say, Lord, just undertake for this one and for that one. Instruct this one, instruct that one. And we see so many of God's people not knowing where to turn. Oh, how often people have written to me and said to me, we're going to a certain city, where can we find somebody who teaches the truth? Do you know this is a sad commentary on our day? When we think of some cities in America where there's hardly a testimony for Christ, and yet I must say this, I think in practically every city you go, God's got a testimony. Here and there, God has His men who are faithful to Him and faithful to His Word. I would like to suggest to you, and especially I speak to you Christians, to have some compassion upon other Christians. There's so many Christians who are untaught, who have no assurance of salvation. They're full of fear. As far as they know, they're trusting the Savior. And I don't question that. But they can't give a reason for the hope within them. And they just are like sheep without a shepherd, wandering hither and yon, open to all the false doctrines and false prophets that are around today. And may I say very frankly and honestly, a great many of these cults, these false teachers, are feeding on untaught Christians. Now, I could spend quite a bit of time there, but I'm not going to do it, except to remind you that Jude, both Jude and Peter, speaks of the fact that these false shepherds and these false teachers were among God's people. They come and sup with you, and at your love feast, you find them in different churches, and their one purpose is to destroy the faith of God's people. Oh, how many have been led astray because they were untaught and they had no shepherd. Will you do something? Will you pray that the Lord will raise up many, many under shepherds? Which leads me to the next two verses. Then said he to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will thrust forth, send forth laborers into his harvest." Now, there's a harvest to be gathered in. But the trouble is, the laborers are few. There are so many to be reached, but there are so few to go. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest. You know, I'm going to be frank when I say one of the reasons why we are not reaching the people in the mission fields is because the people of God do not pray the Lord to raise up and send forth laborers into the harvest field. Sometimes, and I've heard preachers and I've heard Christians say, not that prisons are not Christians, by the way, but I've heard Christians say, "Well, there's plenty to do at home." Yes, but may I remind you that the world is the field, is the world. Every part of the world. And we have been so blessed here in America with churches, with Bibles, with preachers, with teachers. Most of you have heard the Word of God from the time you were a child. And when you think that there are millions of people who have never even heard the name of Jesus. You say, not today. I know in this day of great communication by radio and shortwave and so on, there are still people who have never heard the gospel. I have met people overseas who never heard the name of Jesus until that day. I tell you, it does something to you. No wonder Paul could say, "I want to go out to preach where there's never been anybody there before. I don't want to build upon another man's foundation. I want to go out and evangelize, bring the good news from God to men who have never heard it." Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. May I be permitted to do this? I've done this before, but I'm going to repeat it. There are three great commands of our Lord to his people. In John chapter 4, he could say, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest." Now that's vision. Look on the fields, get a vision. Behold, the fields are white unto harvest. The second thing is right here in chapter 9 of Matthew. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will thrust forth laborers into his harvest field. First of all, you get vision, and then you get a burden to pray that the Lord would raise up and send forth laborers. And then the third command would be in Matthew 28 when he said, "Go ye and disciple all nations." Go ye, look ye, pray ye, go ye. Vision, burden, testimony. And please don't say, "Well, Mr. Mitchell, I'm just too old to go to any mission field." May I remind you again, the field is the world. It may be your neighbors across the street or down the road. Maybe your friends among whom, with whom you work or with whom you socialize. You say, "Well, I'm not a speaker." All right, you can pray, can't you? Get the burden of praying. You pray that the Lord of the harvest will thrust forth laborers into his harvest field. Do you know, one day I was really crushed. I received a letter from one of our missionaries, a young lady who was working among the tribes in the Philippines at that time. She's now in Vietnam, but at that time she was in the Philippines. And she wrote me a letter and says, "Dr. Mitchell, will you please pray for me? If Central Bible Church doesn't pray for me, I don't know who will." She had gone out from Central Bible Church. Do you know, that hit me like a sledgehammer. If the people of Central Bible Church don't pray for her, if her own church doesn't pray for her, who will? It may be you have sent missionaries out from your church. Are you holding up their hands? Are you praying that the Lord will send more to the mission field? Will you pray with me that some of our fine young men and women will give themselves entirely over to the Lord to reach our present generation with the gospel of Christ? How glad I am at Multnomah School of the Bible that over approximately 700 of our young people have gone to the various mission fields of the world. And how thrilled I am when I go to some mission field and find some of our graduates, some of our alumni there, ministering the Word of God in faithfulness and see how God uses them. Oh, my friend, you stand behind the ministry of the Word of God for the schools who train them, for the churches who send them, and for the missionaries themselves who go. You can cooperate. We are workers together with God and with each other. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He will thrust forth laborers into His harvest. You know, I was greatly touched one time. I was at the Asian Evangelist Conference in Singapore, and I ministered the Word of God to them day by day. And then one day, or in fact every day, some of these dear people from different parts of Southeast Asia would stand up and plead for their land. I remember the man, Dr. Cao, who stood up and pleaded for the hundreds of millions of Chinese on mainland China. And I heard the man from Indonesia, the man from Malaya, and from Australia, from India. And then a man from Japan got up, a missionary it was, an American, and he said, "I want to tell you something. I want you to pray for the 100 billion Japanese. Do you know, the Christian church is not too strong in Japan. There's been quite a revival of Buddhism and Shintoism." And he said, "But we have already sent, for the first time, we've sent our first two missionaries, and they've gone to India. And when they were on the railroad platform preparing to take the train to go down to Yokohama and get the boat for India, the father of one of the young men was standing to one side weeping. And the missionary went over to him to console him and to comfort him and said, 'Well, father, remember, your son will be back in 4 or 5 years. You'll see him again.' And he turned to the missionary and made this statement. I'll never forget it. He said, 'I do not expect to see my son again. I have given my son to India. I expect him to preach the Word of God in India. I expect him to stay in India. I expect him to die in India. I will not see my son again here.'" Oh, that we might have a real passion like that. There are some who want to go to the mission field, and we tell them, "Oh, well, in 4 or 5 years, he'll be back again and have a year with us." That's not the attitude at all. They go because God has sent them. Not to spend 1 year, 4 years, 5 years, but to give a life to the people among whom He sends them. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest. And when I talked to one of the missionary statesmen not too long ago, he said, "You know, Mr. Mitchell, all the new missionaries who are coming out are just taking the place of those who have had to leave the field or who have perished on the field. We're not gaining." Think of it. 1971. And we haven't yet gained. There are more unsaved people in India than the day when William Carey went to India. There are more unsaved in China than when Hudson Taylor went to China. We have not kept up with the population increase with our Christian testimony. And Jesus looked upon the multitudes, and He was filled with compassion, for they were a sheep having no shepherd. He turned to His disciples and said, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that He will thrust forth laborers into His harvest." I repeat it, God has a harvest to be gathered in, and you are a worker together with God, according to 1 Corinthians 3:9. We're God's fellow workers. We're on God's team. Are you doing your part? So what is my part? To pray, to get vision, to get to pray, to give, to witness. And if you can't, go help somebody else. Stand by them. It's a tragedy today when I realize there are young people who are anxious to go to the mission field, and the mission, many of the missions haven't the money to send them. Oh, how we have failed God. How we have failed God in standing by the program of reaching our generation for Christ. And remember, if our generation is not reached now for Christ, they will never be reached. Another generation comes on the scene. We are responsible not for the past generation. We're responsible for the present generation. And you and I are equally responsible in this matter of reaching people with the Word of life. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest. Christian friend, if you've ever prayed before, pray now that God will raise up laborers for his harvest. Please don't say, the mission doors are being closed. Countries are closing their doors to missions. Listen, God is sovereign. When he opens a door, no man can close it. And there are many open doors. And you know, there's a verse comes to my mind from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the Apostle Paul says, awake to righteousness and sin not. But many have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. And Paul says, the Lord has given to me an open door of utterance for the word, and there are many adversaries. I've got a wide open door, he said, but there are many adversaries. But that didn't prevent him from going through the door and giving the word of God everywhere he went. I'm just pleading with you for this. I'm pleading for missions. I'm pleading that every Christian, especially if you believe in the coming of the Lord, every one of us ought to sacrifice more than we do in prayer, in giving, in sending. Get vision, then get the burden. And then either go or help somebody else go. What I'm trying to give to you, my friend, we're on God's team. And the trouble is we do not have the compassion that our Savior had. He had compassion on the multitude. It wasn't indifference. It wasn't coldness of heart. He had compassion upon the multitude, for they were a sheep having no shepherd. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will thrust forth laborers into his harvest. Again I say, there's a harvest to be gathered in. And the tragedy, the laborers are few. May God grant to you and to me today the joy of being a worker together with God. Now when we come to chapter 10, the very next chapter, now I would like to rule the chapter division out. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power and sent them out. He has just said, the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power and sent them out. Rule out the chapter division. And in our next lesson, we're going to take up the heralds of the king. The power of our Savior was given to his own. It's a wonderful thing, this. He's going to take his own power, his own credentials, and he's going to give them to his disciples. What for? That they in turn might spread the word of God to their generation. I'd like you to read chapter 10 because there's been a lot of confusion about those beginning verses of chapter 10. We'll take them up in our next lesson. And I hope you read and reread and mark what our Savior said. Mark what they are to do and where they are to go and how they're to go. And the Lord bless you today for his name's sake.